Father, we bow before you this morning, and whoever you have on the way, get them here safely. And whether there's no more than four of us, that's fine too, because you're here and we're such a majority with four or five. And so, Lord, lead us now as we just want to turn to you and acknowledge you, and acknowledge that you indeed are the potter and we are the clay. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Number 57, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit, till all shall see Christ only always living in me. It's a great song, except for that second verse where it says, search me and try me, Master, today. I don't know if I want to sing that or not.
Yeah, I know.
Because I know what that could mean. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Deuteronomy, chapter 3. And we touched on these verses last week in Numbers 27 when Moses was given the charge to turn the leadership over to Joshua. And it mentioned that, we mentioned that Moses was told by the Lord that he was going to be taken home that he would not go into the promised land. And in the Numbers account, it didn't say anything about the Lord having an argument from Moses. But today we get a little argument in a prayer, and I think it does tell us an awful lot in Deuteronomy chapter 3. What has happened to the children of Israel? They have been led in the conquering of the land of the giants and defeated King Sihon. And then they defeated King Og, and it says 60 cities, so that's no small victory. This king, by the way, had a bed that was 12 feet long, so you know he's a pretty good-sized dude, right? His 12-foot bed is what it says here. And then Moses started to divide the land east of the Jordan to the Reubenites and the Gadites. And in verse 21, it's just going along really well. Verse 21, chapter 3, and Moses commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eye have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do all the kingdoms through which you pass. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. So it seems like Moses is in a good spot. And now in verse 23, then Moses pleads with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west and the north, the south and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. We're in Deuteronomy 3, John. Verse 27. For you shall not cross over this Jordan, but command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. For he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. So we stayed in the valley opposite Beth Peor. Well, we have an interesting prayer here because we have a man, as you can see, who is nearing the end of his life. He has led the children of Israel 40 years in the wilderness. He started out at 80, so he's 120 years old now. His eyesight has been preserved, and maybe this is one of the reasons it's been preserved, so he can see the promised land. Now, this one comment here says, but the Lord was angry with me on your account. Do you remember? What do you think that means? On the account of Israel, what does that mean? Well, if you go back to Numbers 20, it talks about Moses' unbelief. If you go back to, that's 20 verse 12. If you go back to Numbers 27 verse 14, it talks about his rebellion. So the thing that Moses did, as you remember, that angered God was he misrepresented God. No question the children of Israel had sinned, but that's not what the reason Moses didn't get to go in the land, because the children had sinned, because he misrepresented God. And when God, you know, when they got thirsty again at the second time with the rock, and he struck the rock, which he was commanded to speak to the rock. And so that, of course, was a terrible thing, because that's the type of Christ, and Christ cannot be struck more than once. And so from a type standpoint, it was not good. And so the Lord is angry with Moses on that account and would not listen to me. We see here that God did listen to Moses often when Moses was pleading for the children of Israel, but it doesn't appear that there's the same situation. And it kind of reminds me when Christ was on the cross, what did the people say? He saved others, but he cannot save himself. And so, of course, Christ willingly gave himself for the people. But Moses is not, he's not all bad here, it doesn't seem to me, because he's not saying, let me go in and be the prince over that nation. Let me rule over that nation. It's not what he's asking for. He's just asking, I just want to see it. Why? Because of your mighty works and your strong hand that you've just begun to show us now in the victories over King Sihon and King Og. And these were mammoth victories, and so it was really all by the Lord doing that. And so Moses is seeing that. And so, you know, I think he may be kind of caught up in the moment here because things are going so well now. And, you know, oh, Lord, yeah, couldn't you just let me go on in now? You know, I see your hand so strongly, and my faith has increased because now I'm not so fearful anymore, because I've seen all your mighty things, and I just want to see you continue to do these good things. But the Lord is merciful, and he is just, and when he said no, that means no, right? There is, the Lord does not waffle. He does not change his mind and say, well, I know I told you you shouldn't sin, and the price of sin is death, but I'll turn my back now and say, no, it's okay, you can live because, you know, you're a good person or whatever. No. But the Lord does seem to be almost grieved. He doesn't want to say no to our prayers in a way. You could read that into this. So he says, no more. Enough of that. Don't speak to me anymore in this matter. The answer is no. And I don't want to have to tell you again, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But I still see love and mercy in that. Now, look what he's doing, though. He's telling Joshua, or he's telling Moses to look at the land. But then he's telling Joshua in verse 28, command Joshua, or give Joshua a charge. Encourage him and strengthen him. My question to you is, what are you doing to encourage young Christians to be committed to serve the Lord? And have you not seen and experienced the strong hand of the Lord in your life? How is your fearfulness for the unknown changed because of that? You know, a lady came in the other day. She called and wanted a counseling appointment. Of course, whenever I get a counseling appointment, I always think, well, what a joke that is. I couldn't counsel a flea. But, you know, I can go in and listen and point somebody to a scripture maybe. But she said, you know, when I first came to the Lord 35 years ago, I was confident and full of all kinds of, I was so bold, nothing could slow me down. But she says, now I've turned into, I'm worried about everything. And she started going down the list of things she's worried about. I mean, she's worried about, because she's got a daughter, I don't know, 40 or 50 years old, who had a cold. And she was so worried about her daughter's health. And she's worried about this, she's worried about that. And I didn't know what to do. I mean, I took her to Scripture, but she knows the Scripture. So, but my question to you, are you fearful? Are you, what kind of a witness are you to encourage those who are younger in the faith? Do you say, yes, our God can take care of me, and at the same time, you're just a worried mess? And I'm not being critical of that. I just want you to ask yourself that in your own heart. And then, to whom are you relating the good works of the Lord that has been made evident in your life? And I'm thinking now of believers and unbelievers, right? Isn't that what our witness is all about, to tell them what God has done for us? And are you sharing that? Are you witnessing that? Because I see that is what God is commanding Moses here to do, is command Joshua, charge Joshua to encourage him and strengthen him. And then, are you seeking your own honor in your own prayers? And then the other thing it seems to strike here is that, notice the similarity here in verse 27. Go to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the east, and the south. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. We are told about heaven, aren't we? But we really can't quite reach out and grab hold of it yet, can we? We got to wait, don't we? We have to wait for that time. And my question then is, how satisfied are you with that? You have God as your Father. You have heaven as your portion. Is that enough? How concerned are you with all of your daily, and maybe in this period of life, every one of us has a mountain, I would imagine, that if I could just get over that mountain, if I can just get rid of that bill, if I can just get rid of that illness, or if my child or whoever could just come to the Lord or whatever, then everything would be okay. Well, guess what? It's not going to be okay. As soon as you get over that mountain, there's going to be another one.
Yeah.
And another one, and another one, and another one, until we're done with this body, because that's what the Lord has for us. But how satisfied are you with that? And are you able to make that disconnect between the biggest problem in your life right now and move it aside to this degree and say, whatever this problem is, it's not going to affect what Jesus did for me 1900 years ago. What is really the only thing that I have that is any importance is my relationship with Jesus Christ. And the bill collectors, the attorneys, the law enforcement officials, the doctors, the whatever it is, cannot separate me from that, can they? So how content are you in waiting to go into the promised land? But now we can see it, can't we, really, from Pisgah? Another question. Can you think of an instance where God has clearly given you a no answer for something you want, and yet you keep asking? And then lastly, have you been encouraged to see God raise up someone to continue a good work that God has started in you? Because we see here that Moses is encouraged, I believe, to see Joshua, because God is choosing him, and Moses is commanded to strengthen and encourage him. And, you know, Moses has cried out for a leader to, remember in our last prayer? He says that they're like a sheep without a shepherd in a way. They need a shepherd to lead them into the land. And so I believe here that we can see God's answer to Moses in his latter years here is to give him that assurance and that encouragement that the work will go on, right? even though he's not going to be allowed to take them over the into the promised land, they will go into the promised land under somebody else. So even though you're pretty important, God's work is not going to stop just because you're not here, right? Or anyone else. Father, we just thank you for the lessons that we see in your word, and in some instances it may even seem like it doesn't apply very much to us, and then we start thinking it through, and how often I think we whimper and murmur and, oh, I want this, oh, I want that, but it's pretty clear that for whatever reason that's not for us at this season. And Lord, we want to be content, and as we sang this morning, Lord, we want to just say, have your own way, Lord, have your own way. You indeed are the potter, we are the clay, and mold us and make us after thy will. And so, Lord, I pray we would be a good witness today. I pray we would be encouraging and strengthening the young baby Christians, or even the not so baby, but the teenage Christians, or whatever you want to call them. And Lord, that our encouragement would reflect with great gratitude what you have done for us and done in our lives. We have so much to be thankful for. And so, Lord, just help us. Just help us. And may we be encouragers and enrich others, Lord, of having what you have given us. And may we let that be known to believers and to unbelievers alike. So lead us now in this time of prayer. Thank you for bringing the faithful ones here. And we just want to respond now to you as you lead us in prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.